So this morning, such a joy to give the word of God. The entire sermon is based on my experience. So if you're going through that experience, I don't know. I don't know that you have been going through that experience. So I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking to you. But I'm going to share with you my experience. And this morning, so probably a couple of years back, I'm a sort of girl who I like to mind my own business. And you know, when you come to a church life and you're the pastor's wife, you cannot survive with minding your own business. You have to go ahead and mind everybody's business. That was very, very hard for me because that's something that I did not like to do. So everything was going okay. Then a couple of years back, you know, there was a lot of offense. I used to talk with people, sometimes, you know, I didn't know whom should I go for counseling to, what should I do, nobody seems to understand, and I thought, okay, when I get over it, no, I will help others who are going through this, because it was something that, you know, at least for probably 2.5 to 3 years, it was in my mind, I was battling, it was like, you know, in the boxing ring, that giant called offense was coming on, hitting me on my face. Then, one thing I realized, I used to tell my husband, if God comes tonight, I'm sure I'm not going to make it, because I have lots of this hurt in my heart. And you know, my one thing that I admire about is my mother-in-law. I have never ever seen a person in my whole life who has no offense against anybody. Absolutely. You can trample over her, hurt her, you can beat her, do anything, but she is not going to get offended. So this time when I went home, I was sitting and talking to her over the dining table. When everybody left, we both were having some time together. So I was asking, how do you do this? You know, how can you just, though you know people ill treat you, she will go and work for them, she will love them. There were times that I myself have hurt her, but still not even a single day has she even behaved like a mother-in-law. I have many times wondered, how can she do that? But slowly it was, you know, whatever God taught me, I'm going to share with you this morning. There was a lot of desperation in my heart to break free. You know, when you were probably just saved, how do you feel? You feel so much of joy in your heart. So I wanted to know, I knew the strength and the reality of this captivity, because it can hold you together, crush you, it will not allow you to progress further. So it was I was longing for lots of peace and happiness. I wanted to forgive people, but I couldn't. Every time that I thought in my heart, every communion, I think, God set me free. I don't want to go through this. But you know what was my worst times? The worst times of my life were when I was alone in the kitchen cooking. Okay, so that was the time that the devil had his best time talking to me. And sometimes my husband will say, okay, you know what, when you're cooking, I'll stand next to you, I'll talk. Say, talk about some ABCDEF, somebody whom I don't know, because I didn't want my mind to be alive. I didn't know how to get over it myself. It cost me a lot of turmoil. And so this morning I just want to share with you. Then, so what happened was, I started reading through a lot of internet sites, listening to sermons. One of my best was The Bait of Satan, written by John Bevere. Wow, that was a book that, you know, that changed my life upside down. I'm standing here as a free woman. I'm standing here with lots of joy, peace. It's just bubbling. My mom was telling, I can't believe you have so much joy in your heart. You're so different compared to what I've seen you for the past few years. But there is the joy, that happiness that only comes from Jesus. That no matter what, you don't look at the situations around you. You don't look at the people around you. You don't think that it was a mistake of the people, but you know that it's the mistake of the devil. It's the work of the devil, and you progress on with lots of freedom. And this morning I want to share with you. Okay, if you ask me, what is offense? Okay, offense is something that causes a lot of displeasure. Okay, it displeases you. Something that somebody said or some situation has caused a lot of displeasure in your heart. Lot of displeased feeling in your heart. It's hurting. It's a very uneasy feeling. I know that everybody, I believe with all my heart, probably not 500% sure, that everybody went through offense. Okay, so you cannot, because the Bible says that we will be offended in this world. If we are a Christian, we are walking in the Lord, we are bound to get offended. There's this Greek word, offense comes from a Greek word called skandalon. Skandalon means it's like the part of the trap to which the bait is attached. So if you want to catch a rat in your house, you keep a bait. That part of the bait to which the trap will get attached, that's called a scandalon. So this is what the word offense means. I want you to understand that offense is not something very casual, but offense is a bait. It's a trap. It's something that wants to hold you on and kill you and destroy you and not allow you to progress further. So now, what does the Bible say about offense? Okay, Matthew 24, 10 and 12, you can just read it here with me. And then many will be offended. This God is talking about, Jesus is talking about the last days. Okay, many will be offended. They will betray one another and many will hurt, and they will hate one another. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And Luke 17 and verse 1 says, it is impossible that no offenses should come. It is absolutely not possible that no offenses should come. That's what the Bible says, okay? So now, I want to ask you a question. Are you offended? Okay? I'm not expecting an answer, but this is something that you have to ask to yourself. Have I been offended? Am I tormenting on and off, feeling tormented in my heart, on and off, with battling with offense? Okay, so if you have an answer, yes, you don't have to say. You can put up a brave face, that's okay, no problem. But I know that in your heart there was some time, some part where you felt offended, where you felt hurt. And this morning God wants to set you free. I know the reality of that captivity. It binds you, it locks you up, it destroys your peace, it destroys your joy, because that's what the devil wants for your life. But this morning God wants to set you free from all of that. There are two types of people. One type of people, they are people who are really unjustly treated, okay? And there is another type of people who believe they have been unjustly treated. That's not the reality. They just have a bit of inaccurate information and they just believe that they have not been treated properly. So I don't know which category you're falling in. So this is just some I'm trying to make you for you to locate your own position in my message today. So you don't know, you're just feeling uneasy, but you don't know you're offended. You don't know if you're rightly offended, wrongly offended. Sometimes it's just a feeling, you just feel that you're offended, but you're not really offended. But sometimes it's really you've been treated unjustly. So I don't know which category you fall into. And then there was this also, there are a set of offended people who never realize they are offended. They just go on with their life. There is something that's hurting them, but they don't even have the time to pause and think that they are offended and that they cannot progress further. And all that they will do is carry this burden in their hearts, mess up their own lives, mess up somebody else's life. For example, you're a wife, you're offended, you don't know you're having the problem of offense, you don't know you're battling offense, but all that you do is you're battling your husband. This husband doesn't know why you're doing this, but all that you also don't know. But this morning, if you are one among them, understand you're offended and you need the help of a savior who can heal you. And there's another category of people who are so proud and they don't want to accept they're offended. So they say, come on, me offended? No way. You know, my dad, he's a very strong man. So when he is sick, I want to go. When I am sick, he pampers me a lot. Like, oh, and my husband sometimes laughs. Why is your father pampering you so much? But when he is sick and I go to him, he says, what sickness? I'm okay. He will never ever accept that he is feeling a little sick in his body. So, like that, there are many people who cannot accept they are offended. They need help. But this morning, I'm not asking you to tell me that you need help, but it's between you and your God. You need help. This is your time to cry out and say, God, I need the help. And there are some of the people who just have this disguise. Okay? You're in a group and one person offended you. But if you are going to say that you're offended, probably you're not going to be accepted by others. You're going to be branded by others. So you always have been wearing this mask on your face, trying to put up a brave face. But deep down it hurts. Only your bed knows how much it hurts. Only your lonely bathing time knows how much it hurts. And this morning, if you're one among them, accept, tell God, Lord, I need your help. You know, the confession to God that you're offended and you need healing is the first step to your healing. You have to tell God, Lord, I'm offended here. I'm offended. I need your healing this morning. And as we go through this, I pray that God will open your eyes. God will heal that wound that was so long binding you, so long, you know, making you feel so uncomfortable. And this morning God will set you free. Okay, so the Bible says in Luke 17:1, it's impossible that no offenses should come. So how can I term offense as a sin? Bible says offense will come. But here, what is sin is not offense, but harboring an offense is sin. Okay, so you have that offense in your heart, and you pour water, you pour some minerals, you pour everything into that offense, you allow it to grow, you nurture it, you harbor it. You know what comes out? Anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, strife, and what all. I can keep naming all. Go to Galatians, just before the fruit of the Spirit, you have the other evil works that are mentioned. All those bitterness, the fits of rage, and all these things are the fruit of this harboring this offense. So I would not say if you felt offended, it's not a sin. Okay, everybody, we all are humans, we feel offended. But nurturing that offense is a big, big sin in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, my mother and my aunt, I ask my mom, Mom, you know these people have treated you badly. How can you just go back to them again? Because you are an old generation. I'm young blood, okay? So I always tell her, I'm a young blood. My feelings are not as yours. So you don't trust your feelings on me, I always tell. But she says, it's not about feelings. If God comes today, will I make it to heaven? Yes. That's the question I ask myself whenever I feel bitter and angry. So sometimes I have seen the worst of betrayal that's happened to her. But she and my aunt, they always tell, we are so quick to forgive. But now, in this generation, we have forgotten. We live like as if this is eternity, but we do not understand that we have to go to heaven one day. And those who are, if you have not forgiven, if you have offense in your heart, you know, there's this verse that says, in that day, you will say, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? But God will say, I'm sorry, I don't know you. There's a very beautiful description in the Bible about offense, about Absalom. Okay, you know, I do not know how many of you know this story. Absalom was a third son of David. Okay, and David had another son called Amnon. So Absalom had a sister called Tamar. So Absalom's sister, Tamar, was wrongly raped by Amnon. So, and then after he raped her, he hated her all the more. That's what the Bible says. He hated her all the more. And you know, what happened was Amnon was very sick. And he liked Tamar, so he told David, King David, I'm very sick. I want my sister, half-sister Tamar to come and take care of me. So King David gives them the permission to let Tamar take care of David. But Amnon, take care of Amnon. But Amnon rapes David. Sorry, rape Tamar. Okay, so now what happens is Absalom is very, very angry because his sister, who was supposed to wear that robe of royalty, the robe of a princess, is now wearing the robe of shame. And this Absalom is holding it in his heart. But you know whom he was very genuinely angry with? He was angry with David, because you know why? David did not say anything. Okay, so what happened was Absalom thought, let me take matters into my hand. He goes and kills Amnon and then he flees away. Okay, and then David is still not saying anything. David is quiet, and then Absalom comes back. And Absalom comes back, and then he is there, and he expects David to come and see him. Again, he is wounded by David because he thought it was all David's fault that my King David was his father. It was King David's fault that my sister is now clothed in a robe of shame. So you know what Absalom did? He called people outside the camp. He started judging the people of Israel, calling all the people, judging the people of Israel, giving them what their heart desired. Okay, so now there is a question. Is Absalom doing this because he is concerned for the people? I don't think so. Absalom did it because he wanted to overthrow David out of the throne. And this morning, many a time, offended people, okay, when they come to you, okay, they are not coming to you out of concern for you, but they come to you so that they will have to overthrow somebody. You are just a weapon. You are just a weapon. Because their heart is filled with lot of strife. Their heart is filled with lot of anger, jealousy. They cannot sleep. Their hearts are filled with overwhelming grief. They don't know how to forgive. And so the offended people, one of the traits of the offended people, they do not have the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, people come to me with, when I see people with, I have this gift, I have that gift. Somehow, I'm a little skeptical, to be put it in a single word. But I always think, why can't people show the fruit of the Spirit? They display a lot of gift. I have the gift of prophecy. When I say this, that happens. When I say, but show me a few of the fruit, few of the traits of the fruit of the Spirit. How about love? How about joy? How about peace? How about happiness? How about faithfulness? How about long-suffering? And slowly, the fruit of the Spirit, when we are offended, we do not have the fruit of the Spirit. We are living, gifts are given, but a fruit is cultivated. You have to. A gift is just give it to you, and nobody is going, just because I'm angry with you, I'm not going to get back my gift. But a fruit is cultivated. This morning, examine your heart. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, and many people in the modern day churches, they are like that. You see a lot of churches splitting. So they are like Absalom. So they are not interested. They come to you. They try to, you know, be so caring. Don't be deceived, because they are not concerned about you. They are actually having a big master plan of overthrowing somebody. So one more thing about offended people, offenses, it can endanger your salvation. Like how you say, how I said, if you have that, harbor that hurt, harbor that hatred, because the Bible says in 1 John that love is everything. If you say you love God and then don't love your brother, it's a lie. You cannot be without loving your brother. I'd say I love God. How can you not love somebody whom you have, how can you not love somebody whom you have seen and say that you love somebody whom you have not seen? Okay? So it endangers your salvation. And then the heart of my message today is, offense is a trap that the enemy has laid for each one of you to move you out of the will of God. Because when you are not offended, for example, take two people in the church who are, because I believe that this offense comes in the church. Okay, because this is where the enemy wants to break, not your office friendship. Okay, because you just meet them in office and come back. Many a time, it's like they are all good. Only people in the church are bad. because it's not because the people are bad. Ephesians 6:10 says, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, against the powers of darkness. It's somebody who has offended you in church. It's not, don't hold it against them, but it is because the devil wanted to put you down. The devil did not want you to fulfill God's will for you in your life. So if there are two people, one is offended, one is not offended, so they both are doing the ministry, just an example, okay, so they both are doing the ministry, then one gets offended, and this offended person thinks, okay, now I'm not going to do this, but this person who doesn't care about the offense is still going on. So tell me, who has fallen out of the will of God? The person who is offended or the person who is not offended? The person who is not offended is still going on with what God has kept for him. But the person who is offended has fallen into the bait of Satan, and he has fallen out from doing the will of God. This is a big, big trap that the enemy has laid for each of us. I know how it feels, because there were times that I didn't want. Many a times I've very sweetly, like, you know, that something like that. I've told my husband, let's go away. Let's go out of Bangalore. It's okay. This is not our calling, probably. Because deep down in my heart, I was hurting. I didn't know how to get out of the offense. And I thought running away from Bangalore, best option for me to avoid the hurts again. But I really thank God for that wonderful God who did not give up on me. And then one day my husband said, the church is the body of Christ. You know, he is not going to tolerate anybody who is not going to fulfill what they have to do in the house of God. That started ringing in my heart, ringing in my heart. This is the body of Christ. Okay, if you see Christ, if you see the body, are you going to beat him up? Are you going to pinch him, put hand and do all these things? The same, that's the reverence that you have to give to the house of God. He told this to me. And that change, that brought a big change. I stopped telling with my mouth that I was feeling bad. I was feeling offended. I didn't want to come. Because I believe with all my heart that you are not going to get offended outside, but you are going to get offended in the house of God. And because that's what the devil wants. He wants to split up everybody. He wants to confuse everybody. And mostly the church and the Christians are the victim of offense. And you know what happens when you have an offense in your heart? You are blocking a big blessing in your life. You are blocking the healing in your life. When you harbor that offense, you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. That's a big, 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 big fall for each one of us. When we harbor that offense, we are going to fall. It's like, you know, a fall that only God, there is the word of God which has everything, but it's up to us to take it, to read it, to eat it, to live according to it. And this morning, if you are offended, okay, now it's I pray that slowly some Jericho walls will start, you know, falling, and the word of God will start penetrating, because let's make the difference. Yeah, in this world offenses will come. But can you and I stop harboring that offense? And for the kingdom, for the sake of the gospel, can we march forward? Okay, so how do offense come? Okay, offense comes through failed expectations. Okay, so you have expectations about somebody, and that somebody has expectations about you, and both of you don't meet the expectations, failed expectations. Okay, that's... you get offended. So you don't really tell, but you expect it. Probably, you know, just an example, I've gone out for a long time, then I come back, then I expect everybody to come and talk to me. Nobody talks to me. Oh my God, I go back home thinking, oh my God, nobody likes me. Okay, then that's exactly what the devil is like. Yeah, nobody likes you. Nobody. Sometimes I tell Tia, you know, there are two voices that you can hear in your head. One is the voice of the Lord speaking life into you, and one is the voice of the devil. So when she gets angry and upset, I do this. So I say, now you can decide whom you want to listen to. You want to make the devil a winner? Listen to him. You want to make Jesus your, Jesus the winner, according to her terms. Then you listen. So instantly the smile comes, because they, you know, as children, they want to be on the winning side. That's why God said, unless you are like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the other one is harsh words spoken to us. Okay, sometimes some harsh words offend us. Okay, then sometimes we just have the perception that we are overlooked. Maybe you are really overlooked, or you just have that perception in your heart that you're ignored, you're overlooked. After the service, all of them talk to each other, nobody talks to me. Okay, it's not that everybody hates you, okay, but it was just a perception on your part that everybody hates you and nobody's talking to me. And then the devil say, yeah, because you did this, no, because you're like this, no, you wore this, you went there, that's why nobody's talking. So all this, some are perception, some are really overlooking, some people really ignore, some people, but one thing is, the person who's offended you is somewhere eating, drinking, merry making, and the person who you as offended people are sitting and crying. So is it in any way justified for you to sit and cry and wail over things? Okay, and sometimes you get offended when you are blamed for something that you have not done. You are blamed unjustly, and unfair blame on you. You feel very offended in your heart. Then many times no credit for what you have done. So that's also something like, you know, sometimes probably as a leader myself, I would think sometimes I would consciously try to give the credit. Sometimes I forget. It's not because I don't want to give credit, but because that day probably at home I would have rushed to church. Like today morning I just remember as if I had skate wheels on my legs. I was just running here and there. I made lunch. I gave a bath, gave breakfast, this, that, packed everything. Because when I'm preaching, what if he's hungry, everything. I felt, so when I came here, probably if I had to give credit to somebody, I would have forgotten. But not because I didn't want to. So sometimes that's also a part where it's a perception. And many times it's a doormat usage. I would say doormat, and also many people say they use you like curry leaves and throw you off. We only use curry leaves for what? Aroma. Nobody eats a curry leaf. They just throw it off. So many times in our life we're treated like that. When you need help, come, please help me. And when that help is over, when it's fun time, nobody bothers to even give you a call. So that is like, how do you use a doormat? Do you put every night, fold it and put it in the bureau? You don't mind even throwing it out. When you step into the house, you want to step in clean. So you use the doormat to wipe your dirt off. Do you ever think of a doormat? No. Many a times we Christians probably we feel that, oh God, I was used like a doormat. I was used like a curry leaf. That's valid. You all have the right to get offended at that time. Okay, and then one more thing is, understand that this world is full of selfish people. Selfishness is the core attitude of everybody. So the only option you have is to change yourself. Otherwise, you have to change probably 10 billion people all over the world. Because today you're here, tomorrow go change everybody. But you have to change, we have to change ourselves. So that we are equipped to go into this world full of selfish people. And Jesus said that we need to expect this. Okay, he says that in this world offenses will come. But what happens is most of the Christians are so shocked that they are offended. How can this happen to me? But I don't want you to walk out unaware that what is happening is not something very different and strange that you have to be shocked and bewildered and say, how can this happen in the church? But Jesus said, expect this. And all the offenses come right targeting you, and don't be shocked, don't be bewildered, because you're in the right plan, you're in the right place, and the devil wants to knock you out. He wants to send you out of the will of God. Okay, so that's his thing. So be prepared, be armed for any offense that comes your way. So as I termed this title, there are many articles if you see in the internet about like defense against offense, because that's the thing that everybody battles with. Everybody in this world has an offense which they are not able to let go. Okay, and one more thing is betrayal. Okay, why do people betray? Because they want to preserve themselves, right? Everybody wants to take care of themselves, they betray. And then some people are always right in their own eyes. Okay, so when you go tell them something, they're offended. All these are probably, some valid reasons to get offended. Okay, and who can offend you? This, if you have somebody who has Psalm 55, verse 12 and 14, let me read. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, let me read it for you. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Okay, so we took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. So am I justified when I said most of the hurts come within the church? That's what Psalm 55 says. Because the devil wants to split. The devil wants to destroy everybody. So it was not an enemy who did something wrong, but it was somebody, my own acquaintance, mine equal, my friend, my love. How many husbands and wives are hurting within themselves because of the offense that has come into their heart, because of their failed expectations, because of the harsh words that have been spoken to them, because of something that they are not able to bear. They harbor that offense. They have no rights to talk back to their husbands. They have no rights to open their mouth and say that, you know, they are offended, but that they carry that offense. But this morning, that baggage is too heavy, and you and I don't deserve to carry that baggage. But we are born to walk in freedom. We are born to walk in liberty. We are born to walk in peace, in health, in strength. Okay, so I was reading an article that says most of the diseases like cancer, arthritis, I don't know if it's true, but is all linked to harboring an offense, it seems. Because that there is no joy in the heart. It's always a burden, a baggage that you carry. You carry, slowly the diseases start coming in. Okay, and now let's see how these offended people are. Okay, so these offended people will open their lives only to specific people. Okay, they will not only to those who are on their side. Okay, when we were small, we'll say, "No, hey, you're her team or my team, or her side or my side." Okay, like that. So they always have this they don't openly ask this question, but they can only mingle with somebody whom they believe can nurture that offense in their heart. Okay, so the many times I've seen this is not about you. Okay, it's about me. I'm always telling about me. Okay, so I have seen that sometimes when people have invited me home, when I, not now but before, and then I would think, when I called, this person didn't come. Okay, so when they call, I am not going. Okay, so it's probably a circle meeting. Okay, when I called them for something, they didn't come. So when they call me for circle meeting, I'm not coming. Simple. That day I had to go somewhere. Nobody's going to say anything. I'm also a good person, and I've also nurtured. I've poured extra water and sunlight for that seed called offense in my heart and made it grow. So this is one quality of offended people, okay? And then they have fences around them. They have walls of protection, okay? They have that fence around them. Nobody can get inside. Okay, you will not understand why you can't decode this person, but they have built high walls around them. They don't, because it's not their fault, but because they got offended. They got offended and they didn't know how to handle the offense. So what they have done is, like Great Wall of China, they have built lots of walls around them, fences around them. How do you go, you know, this when I used to go to office, on the Begur Road, there used to be one beautiful house, I think. But they have very high walls, so you can't peep into the house. Sometimes there's always traffic there, so you always stop. Sometimes a car goes inside, so the gate opens. So I'll be peeping inside to see. Then the thing, oh my God, God, don't ever give me a house like this. Because I have like a house where, you know, the bedroom is in my sight. I don't have to go upstairs because I don't like being alone. So I'll always look at that house and think like that. But that's how most of our lives are. We have built big, huge walls that nobody can come inside. You know, it's because you got over and over offended that you don't let anybody enter that portion. Okay, you don't want anybody to come into that part of your life because you know that they might offend you again. So you don't want to do that same thing again. It's like, you know, I've learned that lesson. You don't ever get into my life. You don't say that, but you've built walls like that around it. Okay. So Proverbs 18:9 says it's much harder to win the heart of an offended person than a fortified city. It's very, very hard because of these walls of protection. They don't mingle with everybody. They're very cautious because, you know, it's my feelings and you don't have any authority to hurt my feelings. Built walls around. But what is happening? What is happening is that freedom, that joy. Probably God, probably Shraddha had to minister something to Charisma. And because of that wall that Shraddha has built around herself, God, though that was a plan of God, you were not able to do it because you built that wall around yourself. So what has happened? You've fallen off the will of God. Okay, then there are some other people, offended people, who will always filter everything through the past. Because in 1947 that person did that, I am sure this person also will do that. So they always see everything through the past. There was this old tale, it seems. In that tale, all the people were migrating from the east and coming to the west. So there was one particular town which was a very joyous town. And there was a wise man who didn't want everybody to come into the town, it seems. So he would stand outside the town and he'll ask, "Oh, you're migrating from the east. So from which town did you come from?" Then they will say, "Oh, we came from this and this kind of a town." "So how were the people there?" So he will ask the question. So the people would say, one set of people used to say, "Oh, they were so mean, they were so bad, you know, I'm so glad I'm coming out. I don't want to stay in that town anywhere. I'm glad this migration thing is happening." So this wise man used to say, "Oh, you will find similar people in there." Okay, so then these people will go thinking, very bad people are in this town also. Then the next set of people come. They say, how was the people you were living in? "Oh, they were very good, they were wonderful, you know, I'm so sad to leave them and come." He say, "Oh, you'll find similar people there." That will be his only answer. But that's so true in our life. Because when you have these past hurts, okay, that determines your future. Many times we say, forget about your past. It's not forget. It's called allow God to heal your past. Without God healing your past, stepping into the future, you're going to carry your past. You're going to walk with that same past. The way you leave a relationship is the way you will enter into the next one. I was reading, there was a census that most of the people who got divorced the first time and they enter into a marriage the second time, the probability of them divorcing is very, very high because they carry that. So I've seen many people who go to one church, they're offended with the pastor, and they go to the next church. 110% they will get offended with the next pastor because they have carried it. They have not allowed God to heal that offense in their heart, and they're going to carry it. So, you know, we cannot deny that. We cannot deny some truth. This is going to happen because you carry that offense. No, you're going to see the next person in the same eyes. Some people probably would have had their father who were not, who probably caused some offense in their heart. And then when they get married, they will see their husband in the eyes of the father. What happens? There's a problem in the marriage. There's a problem. There's a big hole that gets created. But this morning, I urge you, as you're listening to this message, tell God in your heart, "God, heal me. I need that healing. I need that peace. I need that joy. I need that happiness." Okay, and then there are still another set of people who want to run away from situations that are intended to strengthen you. Okay, so when I was working in Infosys, I ran away from my situation and I was jobless for 3 months. Probably God had another plan. But because I moved, my husband used to say, "If it's so hard," Tia was born, he would say, "If it's so hard for you, you resign." So I took it very seriously. So one day, even without telling him, I told my boss, "I'm not coming to work anymore." Then I called him up, I said, "Hey, you know what, I resign." He said, "What?" I said, you said that if it's hard for you, you can resign." He said, I just joked and you took it so seriously. But what happened is I thought I would get a job. 3 months notice period. Mm-mm. Then after that 3 months I was at home. No job. Oh my God. Then out of God's grace, I got another job. I was working in SanDisk for 3 years. And then I moved to another company. But I don't know what, I don't know. Probably I just, because I wanted to go. I wanted to go. I didn't realize what it is to not have a job. God released me. God said, go. You don't want? Go. Then you suffer. Next 6 months I suffer. I didn't get one job offer. You know, if you set our hearts not to face difficult times, okay? If you set your heart not to face those difficult times, not to walk through that path that God is teaching you, God will release. Okay? You know what happened to Elijah? Jezebel confronted Elijah and said, within 24 hours, I'm going to kill you. Okay? And God probably expected Elijah to put back a bold face and fight, because what did Elijah just do? He brought fire down from heaven. And now when a lady says, I will kill you, he's so afraid. He has all forgotten what God did. He's so afraid, he runs away. Okay? Then God allows him to run away. And you know, there's a verse that says, God asked him, what are you doing here? As if God didn't know what he was doing there. God knew what he was doing there. But God said, what are you doing here? You know why? This is not the place you are supposed to be. But what are you doing here? This is not where you are intended to be. But you are sitting here because you have chosen to bore that offense. You have borne that fear and that offense, and you have run away, and I have allowed you to run away. But you know what happened? God said to him, go and anoint Jehu, king of Israel, as king of Israel, and go anoint Elisha as the next prophet. So what God intended to do through Elijah, because Elijah ran away, he did it through Elisha. This is what I'm trying to tell you. The moment you are offended and you want to go, I want to be released, God will say go. But he will find somebody else. Amen. And you've fallen out of the will of God. And that's exactly what the devil wants it to happen to each one of you. Fall out of the will of God. That's a trap that the devil has laid. Amen. We miss out on the perfect will of God. It's not like, probably it's not like God say, oh, I thought like this. Okay, now let me change the plan. No, but God has his perfect will. Sometimes because of our mistakes, we settle down for the, how many scholars say, permissible will of God. We just settle down there. We are not in that perfect will of God realm. And then sometimes people think, oh, I can't offend anybody. Jesus offended people. Pharisees were offended. Okay, there are some kind of offended people who will try to be this good, whatever. They'll be very polished, very sweet, because they don't like to offend even a fly. But this morning, people who are set free, people who are liberated will be bold. People who are liberated will be strong. People who are liberated will be more committed, will be passionate. They will not be afraid, because they know that if the other person gets offended, they know how to handle it. Okay? Then there's one more thing called church vagabonds. I don't know how many of you know what vagabonds means. Vagabonds means they are people who wander from place to place. Okay? So mostly what happens is they get hurt. So they are called church vagabonds. They get hurt in church A, and they go to church B. They get hurt there. Then they go to church C. So their life is going to... So what does the Bible say? You will be planted in the house of God, and you will flourish. Okay? What does planted means? Planted means you have a root. You have a root. I tried to grow up curry leaves in my house, okay? Around 10 times failed effort. Because somewhere something I would do wrong and everything will go off, okay? So imagine I plant one thing. Today I think this pot is nice. Then tomorrow I take this and put it in another pot and think I'll put it in this pot. Day after tomorrow I put it in another pot. Will the plant grow? Will it even have a root that will go? But some situations God has intended for you and for me, okay, to make us more mature, to make us more strong, to make us more bold, so that our roots will grow longer and longer and longer. We will become stronger and stronger and strong. Okay, so now, probably over these years, facing different kinds of people, initially God will start with outer circle of people offending, then inner circle. Slowly it will come to, and you know, offense is because you didn't intend anything wrong, and that person totally mistook everything and had to fire at you, you're so offended. Okay, so slowly, then finally it will come to a very close circle around you, the nearest around you is offended. Then after that, you know what will happen? You will become numb. That's the very colloquial term of saying, but what happens is you are now so bold enough, so strong to understand that it was not the mistake of that person, but it was just the devil trying to make you feel bad. The devil trying to put you down, to crush you, so that you will not progress in the will of God. God will bring you to that state. Yeah, just because now you heard the sermon, you can't go back home and say, okay, God, from now on I'm going to handle. Then you think, okay, from now on no offenses will come because I am like this. No, it will still keep coming. Evening only first one will come. So it will keep coming. It will keep coming. But you know how to defend this. So that is what this... that's what I'm trying to put it into your heart. How to defend it, okay? So I had put my status sometime back. If you are in the place where God wants you to be, the devil will offend you to get you out. I repeat, if you are in the place where God wants you to be, the devil will definitely offend you to take you out. So beware, before you know, before you feel offended and you want to get out of some place, probably it's your job, it's some relationship, probably it's your husband, wife, friends, wherever. If that's the place God intended you to be, okay, and if it's a church that you are leaving, there's this verse that says, we shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. God didn't say you leave a church out of offense, you leave a church having bitterness, okay, but you shall go out with joy, you shall be led forth in peace, you go out with freedom. Okay, God will not call you to go out in bondage. Okay, so there was this very interesting game that Tia's friends were playing. It's called virus game. You know what that game is? So one person is the virus and everybody else is around. Okay, so this person who is the virus, he has one work. So he has to go, if there are 10 people playing, he has to go catch somebody. Now there are not just one virus, now there are two virus. So this two virus will go and try to catch everybody. Now the aim is to make everybody virus. Then they will say all out. Okay, so this is their game. And I was thinking, most of the people are like that. Okay, so one person has one offense in their heart. You know, they are battling within themselves. So after church, they tell this person, hey, you know what? Why don't we go for lunch to your house? It's not because they care for you. Beware. It's not because they love you. It's not because they want to have fellowship. Because they are virus. Now they want to make you the virus. So they will go and say, you know what? Today... Pastor did that. Today, you know, Shibaka said that. You know, the way they were looking. You know how much pressure. You know what the circle leader did. You know what that sister did. You know what that brother did in EMF. All these talks will come. So now they have successfully made you virus. Okay. So now you are the virus. Now, not one virus. Now there are two virus. So these two virus go hunting people to see who is the next virus they can make. So this is how... keep spread. So beware, okay? So you can take up the stand, hey, come on. Everywhere, you put two vessels together and tell two vessels close to each other without making a single bit of noise, then I will change my name, okay? You cannot do that. You have to put them together, taka taka, little sound. All that is there. Why don't we just keep going? Nobody in this world is perfect. I'm not, I'm fallible. You're fallible. Everybody is fallible. But that's not the point here. The point is the devil wants to use you and me as objects of his wrath so that we will not... fulfill the plan. We will not fulfill the purpose for which God called us. Okay, so many, many, many a times we fall off the will of God. That's why I was telling Ephesians 6:10, our battle is not against flesh and blood. So if probably Shraddha has hurt me, it's not because Shraddha is a bad girl. It's because, I'm just example, okay. Okay, it's not because Shraddha is a bad girl, but it's because the devil wanted to offend me so that tomorrow when I come to church, this week I'm not going to open my mouth. I won't talk to anybody because I'm offended with him. Wow, the devil is so happy. They are congratulating each other. Wow, wonderful. You did it. Yes, you stopped Shraddha from doing the will of God. You stopped Charisma from doing the will of God. Stop Priya from doing the will of God. Wow, that's the way. And they keep going, looking for people to get them offended. Because I was like that. There was a time I told my husband, I am not doing anything there. I am going to go and sit quietly and come out quietly. What happened? Did anybody miss anything? Did the person who offended me miss anything? No, I missed out on the will of God. I missed out on what I could have accomplished. Okay, so if you are in that place, don't make that mistakes, because offended Christians don't produce fruit. They never produce the fruit of the Spirit. They only produce anger, bitterness, jealousy, envy, and strife. So beware. If somebody, my mom used to say, they will call every day they don't have love for their fellow believer. But today they were very offended. So, hey, today evening we are free. Why don't you come to our house? Beware. It's not because they are free, because that is nudging in their heart. They have to talk about it. And you know, they want to find out innocent people to pump that virus into them. So that's what happens. So beware. When you can go, but don't become a victim. Okay? Be a victor. Okay? So you go there, they're offended and they say something. You say, hey, come on, this all happens. Come on, get going. Why do you want to spoil your joy? Why are you sitting here spoiling your joy? The other person who is offended is sitting very happily. Come on, go ahead in freedom, in power, in health, in goodwill. Then, you know, you keep progressing. Okay? Then so it doesn't matter how much of Bible we know, how much verses we know, how good we are, how talented we are, probably wonderfully whatever we are, but it all depends on how much we apply the Word of God into our lives. We apply the Word of God into our lives and live according to the Word of God. So if this morning you are offended, this is a time that you ask yourself, am I going to just know the Bible? I know, because I show this, I have a little burden for Sunday school because I have seen many, many people. They know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but they do not know how to apply it. What a sad state. This morning, if you are like that, battling with offense, battling with hurts in your heart, it's time to let go. Amen. It's time to let go, because the other person is okay. And if God comes now, you're not going to make it to heaven because you have hurts in your heart. You're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to be a blessing. You're going to be a curse. You're going to be a stumbling block for yourself, for other people, because you have nurtured that offense in your heart. Amen. It's scary, because like sometimes you go and somebody, for example, you tell something and the person is offended. Now you understand that person, just how can you say that? Now the next time you will not go to anybody and say that, because you know what, you are offended within you. But what happened is you've fallen off what God wants you to do. Just a big fall. You're no longer able to do what God wants you to do. You know, if you take the life of Joseph, if you take, you all know the life of Joseph. Everybody knows that story. So let me be very quick. Joseph was, can you imagine his own brothers, what they did to him? And if that were not enough, Potiphar, for whom he worked day in and day out. Then if that were not enough, the butler and the baker episode. And then he's in the prison thinking, God, what happened to my dream? My brother spoiled my dream. Where am I now? I'm so aimless. I'm somebody with no address. I'm just in the prison, in the dungeon, allowed to die, rotting and die. But you know why Joseph came to be the prince of Egypt? I mean, ruler of Egypt? Because at that moment when his brothers, he forgave. I strongly believe that if he had been harboring that hurt in his heart, thinking, when I come out of my prison, I will go to Canaan and slew all my brothers, I am sure he would not have come out of the prison. He would not have fulfilled what God wanted him to do. But Joseph chose to forgive. Joseph chose to let go. And what happened? So many people were saved. saved through Joseph. Okay, God has a plan for each one of you. Please, with all my heart, I ask you, do not let offense rule your heart. It's time to let go. It's time to let God. It's time to allow God to heal you. Okay, how do you get over this offense? Okay, abide in the Word of God. Delight yourself in the Word of God. Okay, my husband always tells Tia, no prayer life for you. No reading the Bible, no praying. She'd be like, Daddy. And she'd go tell her Amaji, his mother, always my daddy says, no prayer life for you. But then I have slowly come to realize how much of importance it is to read the Bible, to pray, because you have to fill. You have to fill. You have given it out. It's not like there are times that, you know, you get up in the morning and pray, and then you have nothing to do with God the rest of the day. Not even a hallelujah comes out of your heart. I'm not talking about that prayer, okay? I'm talking about prayer, even if it's just 15 minutes in the morning, you carry it on with you the rest of the day. You say, sometimes, you know, I play VBS songs for Timmy, and then, you know, that wonder working power comes out in my, when I'm feeding food for him, I get so filled. Sometimes that God is good, you know, that overflowing presence of the Holy Spirit comes through such subtle things in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to nurture you. Do not let the enemy change your perception of God's character. He is not a bad God. He's not a God who lets you through those bad times. But He wants to heal you this morning and offer you. So don't allow anybody to let you be that carrier of offense. Okay? So now that person is very happy, but you are not, right? So humility and self-denial are the biggest traits for healing. You want to be healed this morning, you need to be humble. Self-denial, let go. It's very hard, but let go of it. Amen. But let go and see. You cannot do it on your own, but the Holy Spirit can help you. No revenge, but only forgiveness. Because how much you forgive, that same you will be forgiven. See, we take some verses of the Bible and say, because God said that, it will happen for me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It's written in the Bible, so I will follow it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's written, so I'll follow it. That same Bible says, if you do not forgive, it will not be forgiven unto you. So if we do not forgive, many times I've told my husband, I think today if God comes, I'm not going to make it for sure, because I have that hurt. I have that, you know, I've still not let go of that. So God, please don't come today, because I know I don't know how to let go. And I know I will not make it to heaven if you come today. And so how do you really achieve it, okay? Now, just one thing I want to say. You will only achieve it if you love the Lord your God. Amen. With all your heart, with all your soul. Because you know what? You are offended because that inner ego is not satisfied. But this morning I encourage you to let Jesus satisfy that inner feeling. That even though your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your daughter, they let you go, but that thing inside of you is not longing for somebody in this world to satisfy, but it's a longing for the love of God. It'll get, your soul will start getting filled up with the love of God, and you're no longer a victim, but you're a victor. Amen. I love the just that our hearts need a makeover, and God will give you that makeover if you ask Him for it. Okay, it's all in your hands. Through tough situations, just hold on to Jesus. Jesus wants to heal you. But you know, in my last but one slide, I want to say next one. Yeah. There's only one person who can get you out of the will of God. And here I will not say it's the devil. Okay? The devil is always, that's his only work, to get you out of the will of God. But there's only one person who can get you out of the will of God, and that is you. Okay? It's all in your hands. You want to be in the will of God, it's in your hands. You want to go out of the will of God, God is not going to stop you. You can go. You carry that offense with you. There's a point when God will let go. He will release, like how He released Elijah, He's going to release. You know, Balaam, when he wanted, the first time he goes and says, God, they're asking me, can I go with them? God says, don't go. The second time they come back and with more money, as if God is going to change His mind, Balaam goes and says, God, this time can I go? God says, go. Okay? Is it because God changed his mind? But God said, first time only, my answer for 100,000 times is going to be no. But you keep asking, say, God, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I won't be like this. I am like this. I am like that. God will release you. Go. And then what happened to Balaam? You all know the story. But this morning, I encourage you, in the house of God, let go of the offense. Let go, because you're going to fall out of the will of God very soon. You're holding it. Some people may probably you're holding it for a long time. And eventually, the grace of God will come. Probably there'll be a comma. Okay, I don't know if God will put a full stop, but then everything has to be rewritten. And this morning, just let go. Be free. It's so wonderful to be free. There were times that I've carried baggage with me, and I would go back home and think, when that person said that, I should have said this. Why didn't I think about it that time? I should have said this. But what's the point? The other person is eating mutton biryani somewhere happily, and I am sitting and panting and puffing. Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Now, you know, I don't know. It's a battle that we have to face all along. Just because I can't say I won't get any more offense. I would go home and get an offense. So yesterday night, I was telling, I'm going to call, I was in a very freaky mode. I said, I'm going to call everybody. Talk. My husband said, no, don't talk tomorrow. You're going to talk about offense. You might get offended today. So when I called, all those people didn't pick up because I was in a very playful attitude yesterday. So it's not that offense won't come. Offense will come. But how will you handle it? You're going to carry it with you? Harbor? Let go. It's okay. They hurt you. It's okay. Love them more. Amen. Be the change. Yes. Be the light in the darkness. Right. Be the salt of the earth. Enough of all the messing up that many people have done. But it's time to carry on in liberty. Time to carry on in strength, because God loves us. Amen. Hallelujah.